Good morning. I'd like to say again that I'm thankful for traveling grace and mercy. Don't want to take that for granted. Please do pray for Michelle's family this morning. Today is going to be a lot different, and I'm going to try to get all this done quickly. I want to tell you what's on my heart. Go ahead and turn to Genesis 37. And put your finger there and turn to Psalms 23. The lesson this week comes from Genesis 41. In our lesson today, Joseph interprets two dreams for Pharaoh. But you see, this day was not the first day Joseph had interpreted a dream. Oh no. In Genesis chapter 40, the butler and the baker both had a dream the same night. And Joseph interpreted both of their dreams there in prison. But prior to that, in Genesis 37, Joseph himself dreamed two dreams. And he interpreted both of those dreams to his brothers and to his father. Sounds like to me this morning that Joseph has a spiritual gift to interpret dreams. What do you think? Look at your Bibles in Genesis 37, verse 3. Genesis 37, verse 3. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for this his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren. And he said, behold, I have a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to the earth? Verse 11 says, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. I thought it was interesting, first of all, to see the reaction of the brothers. They already hated him because of the father's love and because of the coat of many colors. But in verse 4 and 5, and when the brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hate him yet the more. The brothers hated Joseph, I believe, because of his spiritual gift. Verse 11 says that his father observed the saying, though. Wonder why. Could have been because in Genesis 31, Jacob himself had dreamed a dream from God. He'd already been down that road. Skip down to verse 16. We're hurrying this morning. This is Joseph talking. He's going looking for his brethren down in Shechem. And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go down to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, before he came near, they conspired against him to slay him. Verse 19 caught my eye this week. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. In verse 19, it's what the brothers don't say. They could have said, behold, our brother cometh. Behold, our friend cometh. Behold, Joseph cometh. But no, they say, behold, this dreamer cometh. A very impersonal, a very negative and rude saying. This was their brother, but they hated him. They hated him most because of the dreams he had just told them. The brothers hated Joseph, and they hated his spiritual gift. They labeled Joseph as a dreamer. Just listen to this. The first two dreams Joseph had got him put in a pit and taken to Potiphar's house. The next two dreams by the butler and the baker got Joseph out of prison and an audience with Pharaoh. The last two dreams he interprets makes him a prince and puts him in a palace. Amen. All because of his spiritual gifts. His dreams got him in the pit, but his dreams got his brothers to Egypt because of the famine. The dreams saved God's people. All because his brothers labeled Joseph as a dreamer. Joseph didn't get this gift because he was Jacob's son. He didn't get this gift because he was the firstborn son of Rachel, Jacob's favorite wife. He received his gift from God. God found favor in Joseph. My question to you today is, what do people label you because of your gifts? And I'm not just talking in a negative aspect. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, but covet earnestly these best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. For just a few minutes, I'd like to get personal with some of you and tell you how much your spiritual gifts mean to me. Brother Larry Childers, you will never know how much your testifying and your shouting means to me. God has given you a spiritual gift of shouting and testifying. Many people don't even know your name. They know you by the man that shouts and testifies in the camp meeting choir. Keep using your gift for the Lord. You don't know how many people you have encouraged and helped. Miss Shelby, the Lord has given you many spiritual gifts. The talent to play a piano and to teach piano. But the greatest gift he has given you is of prayer. Thank you for praying for me always and for my family. You will never know what that means to me and how much your gifts have helped my life. I love you very much, and you mean a lot to me. Brother Ned, God has given you the gift of encouragement. I knew you visited a lot of people and visited the widows and the sick. I knew that, and I appreciate that. But you do this because of your gift of encouragement. But you see, the day you came to the hospital and you visited with Jess, I saw your gift with my own eyes. You encouraged me and you encouraged my wife that day. And I love you and I appreciate you. George Ann, God has given you several gifts this morning. The gift of prayer and of shouting and testifying. Please don't quit. You have encouraged me so many times. Some people say or may label you as a shouter, and I say amen to that. Keep on shouting, George Ann, and keep blessing my heart. Appreciate you. I'm hurrying this morning to my brother, Jordan. I love you, buddy. God has given you many gifts beyond measure. Many people have labeled you positively and negatively because of your gifts. Playing a piano and singing and leading a choir and choosing the right songs. Just keep on, Jordan. Keep on using your gifts. Keep on singing My Redeemer Lives because He does. Don't let others get you down because you're using your gifts. You see, brothers in Christ may put you in a pit because of your gifts, But God will get you out of the pit with the same gifts. And he'll help the people that put you in the pit. Keep on going, Jordan. Keep on singing. I love you, man, with all my heart. To Calvary Baptist Church this morning, God has given us a great gift. It's the Taylorsville Baptist Camp Meeting. This camp meeting was started by Brother Hinkle, and it is continued by our pastor and will continue till the Lord returns. But you see, Calvary Baptist Church has the gift. Don't take it for granted this morning. Some people have labeled it positively. Some people have labeled it negatively. But that's okay, because it's our gift this morning. Support it and pray for it. I'm thankful for camp meeting, and I love you, Calvary Baptist Church. Finally, to my dad and my pastor, God has given you numerous spiritual gifts: preaching, prayer, singing, and pastoring and moderating. And I respect you and love you for that. You're my preacher, but I believe your greatest gift this morning is helping preachers. Don't quit helping men of God. No matter what, you help so many preachers. What's wrong with helping preachers this morning? Nothing. Keep on doing it for the glory of God. People might label you negatively because you want to help preachers. You're not in a clique. You're yourself. And you use men that God tells you to use. Keep on doing it. This year at camp meeting, I received such a blessing. On Thursday morning, when Tom Gillen preached on He's Better Than the Atonement. And he talked about our great high priest, our propitiation. God has taken our sins away. You see, the high priest in the Old Testament had to kill sacrifices yearly, and that would only atone for sin. But you see, our priest, our high priest, he is much better than that. You see, this morning you have to understand that Tom Gillen likes to preach to save people. You have to understand that when you hear him preach. He feeds me and helps me. He said Jesus is better than the atonement. He made the illustration and said if one day he was in Broughton in Morgan, North Carolina, if he forgot his name, if he was slobbering all over himself, had to wear a diaper, if he had Alzheimer's, and if he even forgot that he was saved, Jesus didn't forget the day he saved Tom Gillen. He didn't forget the day he took his sins away. And see, that's truth this morning. And I had a shouting fit that day like I'd never had before in my life. My son got to see me worship that day. But you see, I got a grandma, a nana, who's had Alzheimer's for 7 to 8 years. She slobbers everywhere. She don't respond to you. You ask her if she's saved and she just looks at you. This morning I want to say Jesus hasn't forgot the day he saved Nell Dagenhart. One of the godliest women I've ever known. He hasn't forgot the day he wrote her name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, Dad, if Tom Gillen wouldn't have been at camp meeting that morning, I would have never heard that message. And you will never know how much that encouraged your son. You see, I can't be bitter about her disease. It's a part of God's plan for her life. And God showed me that morning in that message. And I love Brother Tom, and I thank the Lord for his preaching. I close with this. Some of you may have heard the song, "The Lord is My Shepherd." I put it on Facebook and on Twitter last night. So listen to it today when you get home. It's from the movie The Preacher's Wife. It's Psalms 23 put to music. You see, I had a dream about 5 years ago that Jordan was leading a choir at Poplar Springs Baptist Church. And we were singing, "The Lord is My Shepherd." This was not just any service. No, this was my Nana Dagenhart's funeral. Psalms 23 is her favorite scripture. I told Jordan about that dream, and I wanted him to teach the song to the middle voices. Ironically, this week he came to me and he said he had a song he wanted to learn from the preacher's wife. He forgot what I had told him 5 years earlier. You see, this morning God works where no man can work. No man. In dreams. In dreams, I said. With a slingshot and some stones. In a still small voice. In a fiery furnace. In a lion's den. In a manger. And on the Damascus Road. God works where no man can work this morning. Keep using your gifts for His glory and to help others. Look at Psalms 23 and we're going to dismiss. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk," Lord, help the Bentley family this morning. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely, 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 goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Safe dismiss us to Sunday school.